The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Champs Are Last, the podcast where you just chat shit about wrestling. I'm Andrew, and as always, I'm joined by Lee. How are you? Good? You good, mate?
How are you? Good?
Did you just say that? I'm fine, I'm done. Yeah.
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Cool.
Thanks for already answering my question there.
Yeah.
How are you? Smooth, are you okay?
Smooth, cold opening there. Yeah, I'm okay. I decided to go out after work for a bit. Got very wet. I was like, that was a good idea.
Well, I presume it was raining when you finished work anyway, so you was aware of the weather.
It was misting out. And I needed to go buy milk. But I thought, you know what, I'll go a scenic route, come back by the shop. Yeah, I was like, nah, fuck this. Absolutely pissed it down about 5 minutes in. I went, I'm walking straight to the shop now.
I presume you're wearing shorts as well.
I was.
Legs get wet.
But it's easier to dry your legs than your trousers.
Fair enough. Any other life advice to give our listeners?
Oh, jeez. No. Always wear shorts.
Anything people will learn from this episode is just always wear shorts.
Always wear shorts, and I am trying to get to November before I put my heating on. So I've only got 2 days left.
Right, I'm going to go out on a hunch here and say he won't put his fucking heating on until at least middle of November. Probably in the... I'm going to say the 13th or 14th, whenever Full Gear is.
14th.
And I moan at you like a bitch to put the heat,
Yeah, I mean, it will probably be that.
Because it'll be, I'm guessing, 9 Celsius in your living room by that point.
I'm going to say it'll be about 11. It's still a fair shout, but I think it'll still be in double figures.
What is it now, 14?
It's currently on 16 and a half.
Fuck off.
I know, sweating it in this.
That's like tropical in your house.
It's ridiculous. I think it's because I had a shower, so it just naturally heated up the house and the oven was on.
That's how you get most of the heat in your house. Just pop the oven on for a bit, don't you?
Yeah. You know, when my head's not in it. Yeah, it's all right.
That replaces a plump Christmas turkey.
No, it's not at all. No. No. I've also had a filter tap arrive today.
Oh, God, you fancy bastard.
Yeah, this is the second attempt at trying to get one. This one has arrived. It's a proper brittle one.
What happened to your first attempt?
The first one was more just of a mixer tap. They didn't actually necessarily send the one with a filter. Although apparently did it in the pipe, so itself, like, yeah, but it does it. And the fixtures weren't the right size. They weren't just your normal standard 15mm size or like 10mm. Like, oh, cheers, these won't fit. So that went back, and now I have a proper brittle one.
Didn't they issue you a full credit as well?
Yeah, I should have that back.
So really... Good. Turned to an episode of Watchdog now.
I know, yeah, Christ. Don't get Mike Lewis on here, though.
Well, I'm big on consumer rights. What can I say, Andrew?
Dominic Littlewood?
I don't know.
I think it's his name. Anyway, before we besmirch the perhaps good names of TV watchdogs, let's destroy some wrestling instead, because, you know, people seem to care about opinions on that.
Yeah, I don't really know why, but, you know, we'll humour them.
We shall. I think we're entertaining ourselves this week, to be honest.
Pretty much. Us and Sully.
Yeah. Although he's only allowed to listen to this if he actually goes on his treadmill. Then's the rule.
Is that a new rule?
I think that should be the rule.
After
a while, you'll have to listen to it while he actually goes outside. He has to walk or run for the actual length of the podcast.
Or you forced us to lose a little listener here, mate.
No. I'm forcing him to better himself by encouraging to get out and be active. Tough love. That's what it is. But anyway, where do you want to start?
The shocking Ring of Honor news.
It did come out of the blue a little bit.
The fact that they paid their workers all the way through the pandemic. They've now come out of the pandemic and gone, we're actually going to reboot this. So we're going to release our entire roster. So they're paid up until the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they were contracted for longer than that and then they're paid until the end of March. But they are now all free to take independent bookings. Which, to be honest, I presume I was anyway.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to be sitting here and pretend I'm well-versed in the entire Ring of Honor roster, but I felt that you could see some of their performers elsewhere anyway.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know why, but I was more gutted for Chris Ridgeway out of anyone, because I was like, he's finally going to get a break in Ring of Honor.
Oh, dude, yeah. I was going to say,
And I was like, this isn't going to be a thing. So hopefully Gresham keeps the foundation going on an independent level and maybe no rock up in Impact.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of big name talent that's going to be out there. I don't know whether they looked at WWE's recent hiring policy and then thought, okay, it might be safe to release all of our roster and rebuild, knowing that NXT is not going to come in and take
NXT
all of their talent.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting times. One I do want to see is Brody King, I think his name is. He's Malakai Black's tag team partner in PWG. Okay. They are the tag team champions.
Interesting.
And they're going to start up a House of Black stable, which he appears to be insinuating on AEW TV. And, you know, they love a stable.
AEW likes tag teams. They bloody love stables / factions. So why not?
And I reckon that'll be a good place to start. Also, my boy Danhausen needs to be signed up by someone.
Is he one of your Ring of Honor boys?
He is a Ring of Honor boy.
Oh yeah, what are you going to do without him?
What am I going to do without him?
Bloody hell!
I mean, he's already got a foolproof plan to beat Wardlow. So
true that. I feel we might have to have a little word with Colin Kamikaze. That feels like the crazy sort of left field thing he would try and do.
Yeah.
Good to see I mean,
I'm now hoping Gary books a lot of his talent for Wrestle Carnival.
Certainly seems the man who may be able to take advantage of it.
So hopefully it reignites the independent scene to what it was pre-pandemic, both in the US and over here.
Yeah.
And then, because everyone's thinking doom and gloom at the moment that Ring of Honor's been for, and it doesn't look promising. But they have said they will be back. Who knows in what format, but they will be back.
Yeah, and,
hopefully it creates another place for good wrestlers to work here.
Yeah, exactly. It always seems like that top tier of non televised wrestling in the US. So, yeah, they do pretty well.
So, yeah, it was a pretty shocking read last night, to be honest. It was like, oh, this has happened. Oh shit. And in other sad news as well, Greg Hamilton's left WWE.
Yes. From the Instagram post that I saw from Greg, it is mutual. It wasn't just a simple release. All the best for him. I mean, he's been there since 2015, I think.
Oh, it must be longer than that, because...
Yeah, it's probably about right. About 2015. I've seen him up in lonely Blackpool. Going, oh, shit, man, that's great, guys. That's cool. Because, you know...
Well, while you were saying that was cool, I was like, yeah, that's Greg Hamilton. Mainly because you pointed it out in such a marquee way.
Yep.
Of shaking my wheelchair and going, Lee, now it's Greg Hamilton.
And I'm like, I don't know who that man is. It's cold here. And I'm like, you are corrected. He's fucking horrible up here. But that is still Greg Hamilton. We might get on TV. And then you're like, do you actually want to be on TV? Of course I don't want to be on TV, Lee. You're not the sort of man who's going to thrive in such a situation. No.
Jesus. And yet you now record a podcast weekly.
Oh, I'm going to talk a big game. But we all know I would flounder under pressure.
So you've talking about doing a video podcast, that's just not going to work well, then, is it?
I would enjoy it. But I think
you just said you would flounder in front of a camera.
I would flounder under pressure, but I would still enjoy the experience. But I don't think I could be rocking up being like a Pat McAfee.
You definitely couldn't. No.
Yeah. In this scenario, Lee, this would make you AJ Hawk.
I'm gonna say okay.
Yeah, sure. I'll get you a stogie. No, there you go.
Great. You just made a reference that's just gone completely over my head.
It's fine. It's no problem. Just trying to make people think I'm cool.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Halloween Havoc?
Yeah, I do. I text you just thinking times are a-changing. It felt like this was the first time where they could almost just go with a clean slate. I've already said it on here before that it seems strange to me that they knew they were going in a new direction and yet they put the belt on Samoa Joe. A man who then immediately got injured.
Yeah.
And has been removed from television. So you're like, cool. So then just to give it to Tommaso Ciampa, I'm like, alright, fine. I mean, I like Ciampa, but I thought we were going somewhere new. So are you jumping 2 feet in, or are we still kind of testing the water?
Yeah.
So now, they're like, you know what? Fuck it, we've got a choice to make now. Let's shuffle it back a little bit. So we had 3 title changes on the night.
Yes.
4 championship matches. I'm actually not that surprised that Ciampa retained. I know a lot of people on the internet and other news outlets were saying that they thought that would be the obvious one to kind of change. But I was like, well, you know what? I didn't actually think that, because it still didn't feel like a big event. You know what I mean?
It's as big as NXT 2.0 is going to get for now.
Well, yeah, because obviously, like you, I probably don't think they're necessarily going to have takeovers. They might have something down the line, possibly, you know, around a different name, a little rebranded, I don't know. So, I mean, that this is a big thing.
I mean, give it 6 months, you know, and they might be in a completely different situation. They've actually got some people over.
Yeah. But it's not like it was even, don't know, like when they've had the like 4th of July ones that they've done over like 2 weeks and stuff.
It's Yeah, like the Great American Bash.
Yeah. So I was like, well, okay. But the changes they have made, I'm pretty much all for it. The combination of Zoe Stark and Io Shirai.
As you know, I never liked her pairing.
Yeah, you and I have wasted far too much time saying how that just didn't work. And you've had to listen to me talk many times that they should just have one women's tag belt and defend it across all of the brands. That would have fucking worked. I'd be invested in that. So what they've done at the minute, I think is good. The right team went over. I like Toxic Attraction. I genuinely think they're one of the positive things that's come out of this 2.0 right now.
I think it works well, to be fair.
Yeah, I totally believe it. It wasn't a great ladder match.
There was one botch in there which completely took me out in a moment completely. And the 450 splash, well, attempted splash from Zoe Stark, where she basically like landed on her feet / knees and then missed the ladder by about a good foot, I imagine.
Oof.
It was a classic thing on commentary of like, oh, I don't think she got all of that.
I don't think she got all of that. You reckon?
I think.
I'll tell you who did get all of it, though, was definitely Io Shirai in that fucking ladder. Oh, my word. She might actually be dead.
Yeah, Nat looked painful as
that
fuck.
That looked Sheamus-esque. Or like a Kevin Owens sort of ladder bump. It was up there. It was rough.
So I knew there was a nasty bump during the match. Because I saw the little headline.
Okay.
Then I was like, okay, so. And then, like, when I was watching.
Oh, it's not the Zoe Stark one.
Then I was like, okay, so which bit is it? Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's bad.
I was almost going to text you just saying, I might be dead, but I thought, nah, I'm not going to ruin this in the match for because, you know, you're smart enough to maybe put two and two together. So, I won't just watch it. So no, that was fine. And the fact that was that the first one that was before.
That was the opener.
And so I thought, well, once that's happened, I thought, well, Mandy Rose is going to look weak as shit if she doesn't win later on.
Yeah.
You know this is but, like Undisputed Era.
But then I was like, Onigan. Going to give them all a goal so quickly?
I think they had to because, unlike Undisputed Era, where you could still believe that, okay, Adam Cole hasn't got a belt yet, or he's got one and Roddy hasn't got one, you know, that sort of made sense because they could use the Freebird rule a little bit with the tag titles.
Yeah. So
it kind of felt they had some gold and you know, it worked at that time. But the way they've been booking Toxic Attraction, certainly Mandy Rose, if the other two have got belts and she doesn't, you're like, well, you're like an absolute gimp now. So
yeah,
they had to pull that trigger.
To be honest, I think how they ended it worked really well. Because everyone was assuming that Dakota Kai was going to get called up. So
yeah.
she never got called up. I read on the Monday that internally she'd have been moved to NXT.
Sure.
So I was kind of like not really that surprised, and also Brock Lesnar's officially moved to SmackDown on the internal things.
No.
But so yeah, when Dakota Kai pops up, I was like, okay, so it takes a belt off Raquel Gonzalez without making it look too weak.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ready-made story now, which is already established in the old NXT,
and helps that it is atop the card but not the title, so it keeps, you know, Raquel not, oh great, we have to rematch straight away, nah, she's got a little shit to deal with first. Yeah,
and so yeah, I thought it was I thought it was good booking all around from those two matches.
Yeah, I mean, it also helped that when they had the vignettes before of a person with a shovel, like, talking on, well, you have a New Zealand accent, so you, yeah, I can maybe guess at who you are.
See, I didn't see any of those because I've not watched NXT 2.0 for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, this is the first time I've actually watched it.
I only tuned in simply because it was Halloween Havoc, and to be honest, it was an easy watch.
Yeah, man, it was a good show, to be fair. Then we had another title change.
Yep.
And Imperium are champs again, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, also I'd like to point out MSK didn't get booed this week. They didn't exactly get cheered. Didn't get booed. General just apathy towards them.
Yeah, sometimes worse. I feel the crowd was still pulling for Imperium a little bit. But I think if they'd have bought Walter out, I think people would have marked out.
Yeah. Well, if the internet rumours are true and it was Izzy's parents that turned the whole fan base against MSK, simply because Zachary Wentz said, because Izzy took a chokeslam at an indie show.
At the age of, what, 12?
12 or 13 or something like that. And he rightly pointed out what the fuck was one, the promotion doing, and two, what were the parents thinking? Because Izzy is somewhat a wrestling personality. You can't deny that. But she's not a trained wrestler. Well, she might have had training by now, but at 13, she definitely didn't.
Yeah. Very, very strange.
I mean, if she was British, she'd have wrestled 100 matches by the time she was 13.
Oh, of course she would, naturally.
And it would have been fine.
Yeah, we'd all be happy with that. I mean, we have seen a lad at Kamikaze who I'm pretty sure can't be average older than like 13.
Yeah, but you're terrible at judging ages of folk.
Oh, okay.
He could be like 22 for you.
I mean, he could be
too,
but I wouldn't bloody know.
So if the internet rumours are true and Izzy's parents have done that, such a dickhead move. And also, fuck the rest of the fans for following like fucking sheep.
Yeah, but then you can understand why they maybe had to make a decision and switch the belts, because you can't really move your product if you're just not getting people over.
Yeah. To be honest, though, Imperium seemed like, I'm not going to say a backward step because I'm a big fan.
It seems an odd one, again.
I would have liked, and I can't remember the name, but we're in a diamond mine.
The Creed Brothers.
Yeah, I would have gone like, just putting the belts on them.
Yeah, man.
Considering you're pushing new talent, 2.0, but then again, you would have had too much of a comparison with Toxic Attraction, because Roddy's got a belt.
Everybody's got the belt.
In the Creed Brothers have got the belt.
Now, that, I think, would have worked the other way. I think that Roddy didn't need to have a belt, because Roddy is already your veteran there.
Yeah.
Already has that respect. Makes sense that he would have a combination of people that he wants to work with and train, and people would want to train under Roddy Strong. Totally believe that.
Makes sense.
So he doesn't necessarily need to have a belt, whereas the Creed Brothers had a belt. Yeah, like, backing up, let's jump on board, see how it goes. So I think that could have worked. But if I'm honest, I could see, because going back to if Walter had come out on that night and people had marked out, I think they're in danger of Walter becoming face just because he's popular.
Yeah.
Because he's a big dude who's going to chop the shit out of him.
In the pre-match promo that Imperium done, it was kind of like, yeah, Walter's not here, but this isn't about Walter, this is about us. And I was like, I know teasing that they're going to split from him. I mean, stranger things have happened. Personally, I wouldn't do that ever. I would still have Thatcher in a group. And, you know, and bring back Alexander Wolf.
Well, I mean, yes, we'd all would have liked to have.
I'm sorry, old man. Yeah. You would just have to go. I mean, you wouldn't get cut.
No,
you know, there's still a job now for you.
I could almost make a fifth person. He could be the fifth Beatle if you wanted to be.
No. Just no. Stop mixing with a good thing. This is like your idea to put Naomi in the bloodline. No.
However, would you like to put Solo Sakaloa in it?
Honestly,
close.
Over Naomi, yes. Because it would make more sense.
Because he's actually in the bloodline.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know. But yeah, he looks another interesting character. I'm still on the fence about Joe Gacy. It's a very odd gimmick. And then the mini Brock Lesnar is an even odder gimmick.
Oh my god, I don't know what the fuck to do with that poor lad. I think I would rather have just come out and pretended to be Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, you know? Like a wish Brock Lesnar, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm going, well, fuck it, let's just go with the very obvious comparison right now. Let's face it, NXT 2.0 isn't canon anyway, so fuck it. they're trying to get people ready to be what Vince McMahon deems a main roster star. He thinks Brock Lesnar is a main roster star, so why not just have a guy to be him so he can then replace him when Brock's like, stop giving me money. I just want to go to the bar. Like, please stop making me go to Saudi. I don't care if it's another 10 million. I don't want to go to Saudi anymore. Then, yeah, you've got a guy who's already the fucking same. You've already signed up Gabe Stevenson to be the new Kurt Angle, and you'll probably push it that way. So why not just do the fucking same with Parker Bordeaux? Makes no sense to me, man.
Yeah. But to be honest, their whole booking of Bron Breakker is really starting to fuck with me. Because not only did I make references to the fact that he's a Steiner.
But not.
and he even cuts a promo like his uncle. Sounds exactly like him. They refer to him as a genetic freak.
He has the sirens in his entrance music.
Yeah. And they even said a dog-faced gremlin, which is a reference to his dad's nickname.
Jesus Christ.
And also, his ring gear is very 1990s Steiner Brothers tag team.
It's odd.
Just call him whatever his fucking name is and put Steiner on the end of it and just be done with it. And then, to be honest, putting the belt on him, because we know it's going to happen anyway, so put the fucking belt on him.
Oh my gosh. Coming back to that, So first of all, and this is probably going to be surprising for you, Lee, but I felt this week was Johnny Gargano City Bollocks too far. Just felt the entire segment was just fucking pointless.
It was overbooked, but I didn't know what happened last week. It seemed to me that Gargano stole the North American title and then they had to go to the Haunted House to go fetch it.
Sure, yeah.
And,
I could have done without that. That was, For once, I was like, a rare miss. Just have Johnny wrestle for a bit. Let me get back into it. Let him wrestle again. Johnny's cool.
What did you think about the Halloween party?
And that's what I'm saying. Come at Halloween party. So, first of all, I was going to test you going, hold up, your boy LA Knight isn't hosting this. I still get Grayson Waller, and he seems like an absolute twat. No, because the things he was saying, I was almost like, you know what, bring Joe Gacy out. He's a gimp, but at least he's almost going, hold up, maybe don't be a chauvinistic prick. You know? Oh, there's women in the back. All right, calm down. So I was like, yeah, that was fine. So I wasn't a big fan of Waller. However, the party itself, pretty funny. I enjoyed the costumes when they came out for the lumberjacks afterwards. Like, yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, shit, there was something else.
I'll be honest, the Cameron Grimes costume popped me. Just as an astronaut, because, you know, he's going to the moon, Andrew.
To the moon. He is. Oh, shit, someone had a great one. Oh, I forgot more.
Well, someone dressed him as a banana.
Yeah, but I think he was literally a jobber. I didn't know who that was.
Was it Kushida's costume that made you laugh?
Kushida's pretty good. I like Kushida and the handsome
I can't stand that guy, to be fair.
He's odd.
He's not for me. Now, give me just no.
Yeah, that's not going to get over. Oh, bollocks. I did have something funny, but oh well. Sure, we'll cut that for time.
It's saying.
Yeah. No, I was saying the joke that I find will get cut for time. So yeah, I did enjoy the pie bollocks.
So overall, enjoyed Halloween Havoc?
I did.
I'll definitely like tune in next week, as it did pique my interest.
Same.
And so yeah, hopefully it's a good forward moving step for NXT 2.0.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'll tell you who did have better Halloween costumes. And I know you haven't seen this yet because you do still have about half hour left of Dynamite to watch. But the main event does have some great costumes. And I'm not going to spoil them for you.
Right, okay.
Good shit, to be honest. I laughed.
So you can talk about Dynamite up to 1 hour, 28 minutes and 12 seconds.
That is the exact moment I remember as well. So that's good.
Well, that exact moment is just the AEW logo on our
front. Oh, yeah, I know. I skipped that moment on my 30 second fast forward from Fight TV.
One point to make about Dynamite so far since I've been watching. MJF cuts a fire promo after he beats a wonderfully named jobber, Bryce Donovan.
Harder.
Absolutely amazing. And also, he finally brings home the fact that he's, you know, basically almost undefeated in 2 years. He's been sat at the top of the rankings.
The fact that he comes in, yeah, I hit him with my beautiful Dynamite diamond ring. You know that thing I won by beating Adam Page? And like, oh shit. Yeah. Yeah. Just that guy who's now the number one contender. Twice over.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And to be honest, I was sat there watching her. It's about time you brought this up, to be honest.
It's something that we talk about every time in our group chat. One of us will at some point just go, yeah, but like MGF should be going for it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're fucking right.
At like random points in the day, I was like, you know, you should challenge for the AEW World title. MGF.
Yeah, someone will go about some crazy booking. Like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. But you know what? Why about MGF? I'm like, oh, shit, yeah. Always forgotten about. So I'm like, okay.
Thing is, CM Punk is now 5-0 in AEW. Surely that puts him into the ranking picture.
How many wins did Christian Cage have to get first?
7.
Ooh, okay.
You could argue Christian Cage's were higher quality opponents as well.
You say that. I was watching this week and I'm going, I kind of feel that Bobby Fish should go over it.
What?
Mainly the fact that he's just,
are you now
legitimately better than him?
Are you now one of these where you like this CM Punk run is slowly just him sat in the mid card and it doesn't really make any sense?
No, I think it makes sense for him to be there.
See, all what I want is like an actual storyline for him to be in. So he's cutting a promo week in, week out. Because he's not cut a promo yet on another wrestler.
Not really. I'm happy to be here, Michael.
I want the CM Punk and Jeff feud. That's what I want. To quote Dave Bautista, give me what I want.
Well, to quote me, so...
Didn't realise that was one of your famous quotes, Andrew.
It is. Okay, fine. To quote Dr. Kelso, get me a 3 T's for... That 3 T's for one, please, stands for Tough Titties Turkleton. So there you go. It's an actual reference for you now.
Great. Well done. Thanks for that.
Coming at me with your sass.
I'm the king of sass, apparently.
King of ass. Wow. No, I think that if you were to... So if Adam Page goes over at Full Gear.
Yeah.
Which I think would make sense.
Yeah.
Then you've got your babyface champ.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, cool beans. Then naturally, MGF can come in and demand what is rightfully his.
Yeah, because he's beat Adam Page twice.
And pretty much every other motherfucker.
Yeah.
I would have MJF kind of beat him relatively quickly, and that's nothing, not Adam Page. I just feel that a lot of time it's more interesting when you've got a heel champ.
Right. I don't think they'll put the belt on MJF at this moment in time because he's a PR grenade waiting to fucking happen.
Oh, I don't think... I think they would be very brave if they ever put it on him, but I'm just saying, just hear me out in terms of what we could book to get what you want. Remember, this is how this conversation started. You wanted what you want, and I'm trying to give you that, all right? So MGF wins, right?
Okay.
So he's then champ. He picks off some of the Gibbs, I don't know. Maybe he takes on Sammy Guevara again, something like that. I don't know. Jungle Boy takes him on, beats him, whatever. Then your boy Punk turns up, and everyone's like, oh, shit. Shit, yeah, things could go down now.
So what I would have happen is MJF beats your Jungle Boys, your Sammy Guevaras. Fuck it, throw in a Christian as well. Yeah. And then he starts getting even more cockier. And then proclaims himself as the best in the world.
Which I'm pretty sure he probably already has, because he must have done that with Jericho before.
He must have done that. But now everyone can kind of just go, he said the best in the world. The music drops. You know, Punk may or may not jump in the crowd. I think he's been told off about doing it because he's not done it for the past couple of weeks. And then... they can have their match. They have a February pay-per-view, don't they, usually? I think.
Perhaps.
So, yeah, we'll go for that one. And then, yeah, I would still have MJF go over. And it would be CM Punk's first loss in AEW.
I would agree with that. I wouldn't have him in February. That seems too soon.
Anyone that is okay, so you've got Full Gear in November.
Yeah.
It's still 3 months.
Yeah, but that's not their next pay per view. It's far too fucking soon.
Yeah. That's what I would go with anyway.
Okay.
But you know, they could also go down the Bryan Danielson route. Maybe even the Adam Cole route. There's a lot of options on the table here, to be fair. That's why booking AEW is so much fucking fun, because you can go, what about this, what about that, what about
I that? Feel Adam Cole versus CM Punk would be a fucking great up and mid card feud. Don't I don't want a belt or anything on that. Just
Just give me that. I'll be happy. Let them cut some promos. Sweet. I'm all good with it.
And then I also want to see at some point just CM Punk versus Orange Cassidy. Just because.
We are getting Orange Cassidy versus John Moxley next week, which is going to be interesting. I feel like it's a match I didn't know I wanted.
I feel like Moxley's just going to beat him up in about 6 minutes because he's...
Whoa. You saying you think John Moxley is going to beat Orange Cassidy to a pulp?
Yes.
See what I did there?
Well done.
You can squeeze the life out of him.
Brilliant. No, you're killing your own gag.
Oh, is that too many? Have I gone too far?
That was too many.
Okay.
The fact that you had to acknowledge it afterwards as well. You couldn't just let it lie, could you?
No, I couldn't. No.
So, yeah, I think Mox is now turning heel.
So you're going to say he's turning Japanese then?
Eddie Kingston cut a very real promo.
I don't think I was necessarily concentrating at the time.
Basically saying he takes a tablet every day for depression.
Oh, sorry, yes.
And then that depression turns into anger.
Did.
And then this is what you have to deal with. And then Bryan Danielson cut an equally real life promo back. Whereas, like, a lot of people deal with depression. And I was kind of like, it's put me on a bit of a downer. But this should be a good wrestling match. I believe on Rampage, I think they said.
I'm not sure, but either way, that match is going to slap.
It might be on the fastest hour in television.
Could be. I'll be looking forward to that hour.
So have you got any more hot takes from Dynamite?
I like the direction they're taking Hikaru Shida at the moment.
I missed most of that match.
It's pretty solid. It wasn't quite as good as the match a couple of weeks ago when Serena Deeb halted Shida's attempt to get 50 wins.
Yeah.
But she gets a little bit of payback this week. And I just like the tone a little bit darker again.
Also, if you were Shida, you'd be a bit pissed off at the seedings. Bearing in mind she was champ for a whole year.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the point. They made a big effort to say that she slipped out of that top five rankings. Saying that she's up against Nyla Rose next week or whenever it is, and that was the woman who literally took that fifth spot. And you're like, okay, cool. So,
okay, so at least they're building a story out of it, which is good. And then I don't actually know what happened with Cody and good old Arn Anderson, because that is literally my next bit to watch, I think.
If I'm honest, I wasn't really that bothered. Because it was just a Cody talking segment, and I got a little bit bored.
I'll message Greg and see what he says.
Oh, he'll quote it word for word for you.
I was going to say Greg will quote it verbatim.
Yeah, and then call him a genius. Andrade El Idolo came out. I was like, yeah, this is cool. He said some things. Then all the lights went out and as the back showed up, I was like, oh, yeah, shit, I forgot that he basically hired Black Bolt last week to keep the shit out of him or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they're just friends.
Just amigos.
Yeah. That doesn't tell you when it doesn't tell you when I met. But, you know, Andrade's got a lot of friends.
Yep. Sometimes they come dressed as frogs. That's a strange one. So, yeah, I enjoyed Dynamite this week. Nice little couple of hours.
It's always a relatively good watch anyway.
Yeah. But I felt they had the right amount of fun then afterwards with their weird Halloween shit later on, which you'll see in this match.
Yeah. This segment now, Andrew, is all over to you. Because you went to a wrestling show last Friday as I was preoccupied.
You had double booked yourself, sir. That's what you'd done.
Yeah.
You're going to bloody double booked yourself.
So, first question is did you have fun?
Well, I mean, define fun. This is me. But no, I did. I genuinely did have a good time. It was a good night. I did express said feelings to Ollie, which, as you know, it's not something that I often do. So, no, it was good. To be fair, I really wasn't sure what to think when I kind of got there, because I'd not obviously been to any sort of a show at Frog and Fiddle before.
Yeah.
Whether it was wrestling or anything.
What was the promotion you went to see again?
Southwest Wrestling, SWW. Okay. It was their debut in the Frog and Fiddle. They hadn't run a show out of there before, but you know, it seemed pretty good. It's trying to think of how to describe it to you. I would say it is up there with the Crawford Arms in Wolverton in terms of how sort of like tight it is. I'd almost say it's smaller, but I don't know. I haven't been to Wolverton in a while. I would say it's similar to that. In terms of like, it's really fucking indie. However, maybe slightly more accessible, not massively so, but there were two other people in wheelchairs there.
Nice.
One of whom was actually the grandma of one of Ollie's friends. So, yep, small world.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I learned that little story.
Mate, they all know each other down there. although I did recognise somebody, it was Sausage Rolls from Wrestling 4 in Hell's Own.
Brilliant. Matt, it's
that's the only way I can describe them to you.
That was such a niche reference.
Yeah, the family from who
a very random show.
Shitload of sausage rolls, and I want to say a full 6-pack of crisps. Quavers, were they?
No, I think they're like, onion rings.
Onion rings, they were. I knew it was something that was going to smell. Onion rings, you are correct. But anyway, so I don't know. I think you'd be okay there. We would have to go, like, we'd be on the opposite side to where I was. I was literally in what you would class as fucking mosh pit. Odd. Which is why on that picture, Lee.
I bet you love that.
It was interesting.
Well, was it Ollie's idea to go stand there? I'm going to assume it was.
I mean, I kind of walked in and went, I want to go wherever, because I'm a doormat, like, you know me. I'm like, I'm not making a decision.
Yeah, that is true. You never make a decision.
And they're all quite deceived about the fact it's the wrong decision.
exactly. And then you quietly moan to yourself and chunter away that you've been ring posted for an evening.
I wasn't ring posted. I just couldn't fucking see because I'm 5'7", and the ring isn't very high up. So if they were doing any grappling, fucking see that. I would say there was probably about as much dry ice there as there was at Wrestle Carnival
in a smaller environment,
fucking room with the lighting of the mill in Kamikaze. So it was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know if it'd been any better on the other side where there was a little bit of seating. So if we were to go, I think we'd be fine. We'd just go on the other side, probably okay. But yeah, it was an odd one.
Do you want to give us can you remember anything about the card?
I can. But also, it was also a race weekend. So it's very interesting in terms of the crowds that were there. I would say it was close to You know how we used to go to Coventry for Kamikaze?
Yes.
So you'd get a slightly different, rowdier crowd, perhaps, stood down by the ring in that area.
Right.
Kind of the same as that, but they're, you know, close to being from the West Country, so
it's
a lot of cider involved.
And also, it was an over 18 show as well. To be fair.
Very much so. Yes.
So you know, you're going to attract that raucous,
yes, crowd, yes,
which so. Only adds to the atmosphere, in my opinion.
It was. Always interesting when someone shouts homophobic at an actual gay person. That's weird.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was, because I had to turn to her and go, well, I thought it was weird, because I'm pretty sure he's gay, but cool. You shout homophobe at him, sir. You do that. I thought it had good pacing, to be fair, throughout the card. I genuinely did. And you know me, I am a stickler for booking. This is how we live our lives now. You know, yeah. We just go there for the show, so we go, it's a good match, right? Yeah, but what if they could like put that match on there? They could do whatever. But no, I thought they did all right. Man like Doris was on. He was first up, so that got me in the mood because like ha, these fools don't know what follows 01. Shout 01 at them, Doris. They don't know what to do. There's just me, one lone voice, 2-1 back at you. So that was fun for me. I enjoyed that. He was up against a lad quite nicely here because they have posted the card, which is lovely. Chris Bronson with The House. So basically, there's about like four of them, I think, in this faction. So it was good booking to me that, yeah, Doris is obviously the face of the match, but he's going to get defeated by, you know, the little distraction. The other guy's going to come in, do shenanigans. So I was like, cool.
Hoping The House was just like a massive 500-pound man, just called The House because he's huge.
No. Ironically, one member of The House is actually a little person. And he's awesome because he just basically flips you off throughout the match. I was like, I like that dude.
Just you.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Just me sat on the ring post flipping.
I'm hoping it just found you out. I was like, yeah, I'm going to bully you for the next however many minutes this match was given.
It wasn't Jade.
Not in this show, I presume.
No, not yet. That's to come, hopefully. I didn't know that. Oh, okay. I assume that must have been a face win then. Okay, cool. That was that one. That's fine. I did enjoy there was a guy who came out to the Wurzels. I've got a brand new combine harvester.
Brilliant. I presume he's just pandering to that fucking audience.
Which made me laugh again. So bear in mind, I've been the only person who shouted 2-1 at Mandarin because he's from, you know, a city. Because we're cool. Ollie goes for a piss at the exact time that the Wurzels come on, and I went, is he left because he thinks this is a bit of, bit of an affront to him? Go, I take the piss in. You're playing the bloody Wurzels. So like, yeah, but you do genuinely own a combine harvester. So I think he's hit the right crowd for me. Surprisingly, he was over. Crowd did like him. And he won. I want to say his name was Dig or something, and I laughed. He was a good dude. And he was a bit of a hoss character. He's your boy. He was big. What I then really enjoyed, and probably the one thing that I text you on the day while you're out, was Ronnie Knox versus Mia Cortez versus Dominator. And fucking Dominator was face. And I mean, full on. The crowd like, yeah, fucking, I'm like, I am confused. I'm all for it. You know full well I am a fan of Dominator.
Yeah.
But unless she's like telling cancer to get fucked, it's strange. I've never seen her booked as face before. I thought it worked quite well. It's lovely.
It would throw me off as well. It's like the first time I went to Fight Club Pro expecting to cheer for Chris Brooks. and then when I got there and sat down, and like he's like the biggest heel wolf in the earth.
That bloody hell!
I was like, And I was like, oh, this is going to take some getting used to.
Oh, I'll just sit on my hands for this match, shall I?
All seeing the Hunter brothers were heel in the East Midlands.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That's a weird thing.
There's me going, Lee, the heat is on. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm not allowed to sing that here. This is weird.
Lynch mob mentality.
Exactly. Yeah. So, no, I was happy Dominia went over there. They booked it kind of two smaller, cowardly heels that'll sometimes gang up against a bigger opponent.
Yeah, so it
was good shit. Kind of liked how they went there. Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Fair enough.
Why do you keep saying that you went to this show?
I did, but I didn't. Mate, I could barely see, and I, because I don't necessarily know the names, I couldn't hear what I said, but you got Experiment in Terror defeating Greedy Souls to advance to the second round of the SWW Tag Team Championship Classic. I think that was good. I do remember a decent tag match, so I think that must be that. That was cool. Ah, yeah, I remember who's in that now. Elijah is one of them. Ah, yes. Yes. Cool. I remember that was good. And to be fair, that was one of the matches. Lucy, that's Ollie's missus. She was like, "Oh yeah, I like that." That got her into the evening. She enjoyed that match, and then I enjoyed it because Elijah did make Ollie spill his pint. So I was like, "Ha, ha, didn't." So that's funny. Hotshot Joey Scott versus Alano Stone. For me, it was probably one of the matches of the night. Those two have pretty good chemistry, to be honest. I didn't know much about Alana. Everybody just kept chanting Jungle Boy at him. That was a bit mean. To be honest, he looked more probably like Lion Kid with a mask on. But, I mean, they're not going to get that. So, fine, you shout that in. And then, now this is the only thing that's going to get me, Lee. And I will say it to you how it was told to me. So, it was Nico versus Sid Oakley, right?
Yeah.
In the main event. And it was a no DQ, falls count anywhere, last man standing match. Do you want to tell me what's maybe wrong with that?
So there's a lot to break down there, son, to be honest.
Yeah.
So you got DQ, which is fine.
Yeah.
Your falls count anywhere, so a three count anywhere in the building.
Last man standing.
And then last man standing.
So basically it's a last man standing match. It was told to me that you could only win by knockout. Into the man couldn't stand. So why are you saying it's false count? It's not false count anywhere, is it? Because don't count at all.
Why have the other two stipulations even mentioned? Just go, it's the last man standing.
That was the only thing that I didn't get. In my head, I was thinking, lads, you've overbooked yourselves there. Just give me a last man standing match. And it was fucking good.
Did it come across as a blood feud? Were the crowd into it?
Yes. They were very drunk by this point, and they had to be told many times, do not get involved. So, yeah! Yeah!
It's always good when you hear a little announcement go, please, do not get in the way of the wrestlers, do not touch.
There was a dude dressed as a jockey on his stag dude who tried to get in the ring. They told him to back the fuck off. So that was interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. Nico then... He took Sid up the top of the stairs, and I was thinking, yeah, he's going to throw him down the stairs. That'd be pretty sweet. He didn't, which is probably a good thing, to be fair. Instead, he slid down the banister, and then it was either a hurricane run or just a simple cutter. I'm not sure, but either way, he did that off the fucking banister. It's pretty freaking sweet.
Brilliant. This is why I love indie wrestling.
Yeah, it's good shit. And then they got the thumbtacks out. Chairs and shit. It was all good. Yeah, it was good shit, man.
Bin.
And Nico went out. And yes, there was a bin. And that was a picture that I took at the end of the evening for you.
Yeah.
It was the bin and the scattered remains of the drawing pins.
So,
lovely.
So overall, Andy, you recommending Southwest Wrestling to people to check out?
Yeah, solid, man. I felt that it was a good way to spend a Friday night, to be honest. You know, if you're there and you want to actually, you know, go out on the piss and have a bit of entertainment, I think it's there. I think this, they set themselves up a little bit because I think it's tough to do that. I wouldn't want to have been some of the performers there just because of how the crowd was. I would be like, fucking hell, these idiots are like going to get in the way. They're going to do something stupid. You know, it's just no through fault of their own. I feel that I'm a bit of, you know, wet lettuce, and I would prefer to just have my wrestling given to me, like, you know, in a nice, safe, confined space.
To be honest, if you was a wrestler, you'd be loving the empty arena environment that the pandemic gave.
Would it be beautiful?
You'd be like, just sit there and watch from home this 20-minute wrestling class.
Oh, I could have been on UK in the BT studios, just me. Oh, it'd be glorious, mate. I could have done that.
On that note of Andrew hating people, do you want to wrap the show up, mate?
Oh, great. So I hate these people, but I have to tell them to continue to listen.
Yeah.
We are Champs at Last. You can find us on all the major podcast networks, your Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcasts, we will be there. Check us out on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Champs at Last. Give us a like, follow, subscribe. And yeah, we'll speak to you guys next time.
Peace out.